Turn with me, if you would, look at Daniel. Daniel chapter number 12, if you would. Do appreciate the good blessings of the Lord. Amen. Certainly good to us. And I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Appreciate the good service we had this morning.
Amen.
Amen. I appreciate all of our visitors that come. Daniel chapter number 12. I preached this morning out of Revelation. The book of Revelation chapter number 10. I'm going to take the book. Tonight I want to try to share some thoughts with you, some things that I hope and pray will help you. We're living in days that are discouraging days to some people. They're dark days to some people. They are depressing days to some people. But for God's children, it ought not be there. Amen? God's given us His Word. God's given us many promises throughout the Word of God. And we know that these things are going to happen. Amen? Don't take us by surprise. The Scripture talks about the coming of the Lord, and it shouldn't surprise us. It'll take you as a thief in the night, because you know that it's coming. It's been told.
Right.
God gave His Word. God told us in His Word that Jesus was coming. And so when He comes, it shouldn't take us by surprise. Say, man, we must be ready. And we're commanded to be ready to watch, to pray, be ready. We find as we, in our day now, there's a lot of things that's going on that's got people upset. A lot of things got people scared. Ain't no need to be scared. Ain't no need to be fearful. God said, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Amen?
Amen.
And if God told me that He's going to be with me, and for me to fear not, there shouldn't be any questions. Amen?
Right.
There shouldn't be any doubts in my mind that God can't take care of whatever it is that needs to be taken care of. Man, but we do have people in our day that battle that. They doubt God, and they say with their lips they don't doubt God, but they say with their movements and their actions that they doubt everything God ever said. And I'm not going to be too critical tonight. I'm going to focus on that. I'm just going to encourage us tonight that the Jesus Christ is coming. Amen?
Yes.
Soon, very soon, He's coming. It's going to be a whole lot sooner. The Apostle Paul said that it's sooner, our salvation is nearer than when we first began.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's going to be sooner than what it has been all these years. And thank God there's a day coming that we'll transport from here to glory. Amen. And we'll never grow old. We'll be young again. We'll live on the streets of gold there in heaven. And listen, the thing about heaven is we're going to heaven. We're saved, but we're not going to stay there.
That's right.
We study the Bible. We're not going to stay there for just a short time. We're coming back to this earth. Amen. We talked about that a few times. But listen, whenever we come back, there's going to be some things settled. God's going to settle the score. Then one of these days, it's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Amen.
Right.
We'll be able to live on that new heaven and that new earth. Without sin, without sorrow, without sickness, without all the things that the devil's attacks and all that stuff. It sounds like, if you think about that for a few minutes, it sounds like we might have lost our mind. You really believe that? You think that's possible, that we can live on the earth that's going to be perfect, that's going to be without sin? Absolutely. Because God said in His Word, He's going to destroy this one.
Yep.
And He's going to have another. Amen? This one's going to be destroyed by fire.
Right.
First time it was destroyed by water. Second time it's going to be destroyed by fire. Amen? So we understand that. We know that things are going to take place in the future. God's got this all under control. So why in the world would we worry and be so depressed and so discouraged by what's going on in our world?
Right.
Because things are going to happen. Amen? The Antichrist has got to be, he's going to be on the scene. Amen? Things have got to be set up for him to be on the scene. So anyway, let's look at Daniel chapter number 12 tonight. Daniel chapter number 12. And I'm going to try to help you just a little bit tonight. We'll read verse number 1 through verse number 4. And I don't know, I might read the whole chapter. Let's just start verse number 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. There shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So as we read Daniel chapter 12, verse number 2, we understand there will be some that are saved to everlasting life, and some will be sent to everlasting judgment. Amen? And so we see verse number 3, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. I want you to understand with me tonight that knowledge in our day has greatly increased.
Right.
Amen. We see things today that most people never thought they'd ever see. I don't know if you realize it or not, but there is such a thing as flying cars. They're $250,000, and I put in for one at work, and they laughed at me, told me that'd never happen. I said, well, I could get there a whole lot quicker, fellas, if you buy me one of those. But they are such a thing as flying cars. There's so much technology now, it's unbelievable. And one of the things that's probably more unbelievable is that a lot of the new technology and things that's been designed comes out of Israel. That's amazing. But there's a lot of smart people in Israel. Amen.
Yeah.
But the Bible says here in the book of Daniel that knowledge, in verse number 4, knowledge shall be increased. Now listen to this. Let me read this to you. This is February 26, 2021. Dr. David Cloud has the church news. I don't know if you know Dr. David Cloud or not. You can get his church news every Friday. He sends out church news, brings you up to date on what's going on in the world, and helps you understand things on a biblical perspective. So this is his newsletter, part of the newsletter for February the 26th. It's NASA's Perseverance Rover, A Sign of the Times. That's how we titled it. Since NASA's Perseverance Rover made a perfect landing on Mars on February the 18th, after a six-month, 290 million mile journey. Boy, that's a long way to Mars, ain't it? Y'all just want to ride over there? 293 million mile journey. The fifth rover to land on Mars. $2.7 billion vehicle is about 10 feet long, 9 feet wide, and 7 feet tall, and weighs 2,260 pounds. Powered by a nuclear generator, it has a slew of scientific instruments, including a camera with a zoom telephoto lens that can take high-definition video, panoramic color, and 3D images. The rover also carries a little helicopter drone called Ingenuity. Imagine that. I wonder who came up with that name. with which NASA will attempt to scout the planet's landscape. Perseverance is a sign of the times biblically in two ways. First, as we find in Daniel chapter number 12, verse 1 through 4, its technological ingenuity is a fulfillment of the prophecy of the increase of knowledge in the end times. They are increasing the knowledge that is unbelievable. Amen? They just landed the fifth rover on Mars. Amen? You believe that? That's amazing, man. The fifth to land on Mars, $2.7 billion vehicle. I wonder who's paying for all that. Amen. Moving on. We also find that it's a sign of the times, not only because of the knowledge of the end times, but then we find what Peter says, 2 Peter chapter 3, the evolutionary mythology that drives NASA today is the fulfillment of a prophecy of end-time skepticism. Chris Carberry, I think that's how you pronounce his name, CEO of Explore Mars, this is what he said. Perseverance is attempting to answer one of the biggest questions in the history of humanity. That question is there life elsewhere in the solar system? This objective is based on evolutionary presupposition that deny the Creator in spite of overwhelming evidence that the universe did not create itself. Despite that, they're still looking, is there life somewhere else? Denying the very Creator.
Right.
Is everybody with me? Evolution is based on the ridiculous idea that everything came from nothing. That's a great idea, isn't it? Everything just moved from there was. Everything came from nothing. Life came from non-life. That's what evolutionists believe. Intelligence arose from that was not intelligent. So it just got smarter. All by itself. The incredible complexity was an accident. It just happened. Here's what the Bible says about evolutionist theories. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 3 through 7. Know this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standeth out of the water, and in the water, whereby the world that was then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. That's what the Bible has to say about evolutionists.
Right.
They deny the Lord Jesus Christ. They deny the Almighty God.
Amen. Amen.
They deny those things. Listen, the knowledge has increased in this world. And the Bible says that these things were shut up. Amen. God tells Daniel to close the book. Don't write anymore. Amen.
Right.
Stop. Don't write nothing else. Don't say nothing else. These things that the Bible says by the same word are kept in store, reserved in the fire against the day of judgment and perdition. That word perdition means destruction of ungodly men. Amen. So there's coming a day that God's going to set all this straight. Amen. They can deny Him all they want to, but there's coming a day when God will set everything straight. He'll make it right. Amen. They'll see. They'll know there is a God. They'll know. They'll see there is a Lord Jesus Christ when He touched down on this earth and put His foot down on the earth. Amen. He'll come to set the record straight. Now, what happens, and whenever we look at things around us and see what's going on around us, as I said, many people get discouraged, many people get upset, they think, oh, they've landed on Mars, and now people's going to try to save their money up to make a trip to Mars, and maybe go build a house on Mars, because things are going to get so bad here, we're going to have to go somewhere else, amen? We're going to have to move away. Maybe we need to move to Mars and build us a Walmart on Mars, amen? That'd be the next development, Walmart, or no, it won't be Walmart, it'll be Dollar General, they go everywhere. Maybe the next thing, the Dollar General on Mars. But anyway, listen, people get so upset and so worried about things that's going on in this dispensation, in this age that we're living in. And I know that many people got upset over the election, and I know things are still not so square. Still a lot of questions about the election. We know that. We understand that. But none of that took God by surprise. Amen? Here's what the Bible says to the believer. When it talks about about the election and all that took place, here's what the Bible says about that. God's people must turn, as I mentioned this morning, we have to eat the Word of God. Amen? We have to feast on the Word of God, or we'll be discouraged, we'll be distressed, or we'll be amazed, amen, if we don't focus on the Word of God. Here's what the Bible says. Daniel said, Daniel chapter 2, verse 20 and 21, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. The Bible says that God setteth up kings and He removeth kings.
Right.
David said in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse number 11, David said, Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven, for all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Amen. God is the head of all. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and all that is in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Well, ain't nothing they can do about that. Amen. He's Lord of all. He's King of kings. Amen. Asaph said this in the book of Psalms, chapter 75. Here's what he said. Lift not up your horn on high. Speak not with a stiff neck. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Amen. Well, that's encouraging, isn't it? God is in control. Joe Biden is not in control. Amen. Ms. Harris is not in charge. Amen. God's in charge. Solomon, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 33, Solomon said it this way. He said, The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord.
Right.
Ain't nothing took him by surprise. He knows exactly what's going on. Amen. Yes. He's got this under control. Don't worry about it. Amen. Jehoshaphat says it this way, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Amen. Ain't none of them got power they think they have power. Black Lives Matter, the BLM, and the Antifa, and just all that crowd that's trying to destroy everything, they don't have no power. God's got all power.
Right.
Amen. God's got all power. Well, I'm scared. I don't know what they're going to do to me. Is not the hand of God all powerful and all might, so that none is able to withstand him? That's what the Bible says. God's children need to read Jeremiah chapter, Jeremiah when he says this in Lamentations chapter 3, verse number 37. Who is he that saith, and it come to pass? Amen. When the Lord commandeth it not. Who is he that saith it, and it come to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not?
Right.
Nothing happens unless the Lord allows it.
Right.
Amen? Nothing. Romans chapter 13. For there is no power but of God. The powers that are, the powers that be, are ordained of God.
Yeah.
Right.
Paul said it this way, Acts chapter 17. He said it this way. He said, he is Lord of heaven and earth. He hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. And hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. In other words, they can only go so far, God will stop them.
Right.
Amen? They can only rebel so far, God will stop them. They can only destroy so much, God will stop it. Amen? So we need to be encouraged tonight by the things that the prophets of old said in the Old Testament of our Lord, our God. Still the same God. Amen? Amen. Different day, different hour, but still the same God. Amen. Still on the same throne, still have the same power. Amen. And still dealing with the same heathens.
Yeah.
Amen. That should encourage us tonight. I know that these are some things, whenever you think about what's going on in our world, and there's many other things that's been developed. Knowledge has come so far, and technology has come so far. They've got so many, listen, they monitor us, they watch us everywhere we go, everything we do. People don't want to get a cell phone because they're afraid somebody's going to know where they go. They know where you go if you don't have a cell phone. Because somebody else has got a cell phone, and they're going to have their little camera watching you wherever you go. Amen?
Right.
Don't let that mess bother you. God's in control. Amen?
Right.
Keep your head up. Keep your eyes on the Lord and not on this wicked world. Because there's a wicked plan of evil men, but they will not succeed.
Yeah.
Amen? That's the Bible. They're not going to succeed. God is in control. Daniel chapter 6, flip there real quickly. Daniel chapter number 6. I preached this morning on eating the book and taking the book, and you and I need to certainly fill ourselves full of the Word of God, to study the Word of God, know the Word of God. Amen?
Yeah.
Not that we become some theologian. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just know your Bible.
Amen.
The Scripture teaches us we ought to know how to answer every man of the hope that's within us.
Amen.
That wicked and godly crowd. Amen. And they say, how do you deal with that? How can you handle that? What do you do in the face of that? I lean on the promises of the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
God has never failed me, never will fail me. And I just want to trust Him in whatever the circumstances are. What if they put you in prison? I'll trust Him for whatever the circumstances are. Amen.
Amen.
He got Paul and Silas out of prison. Amen.
Right.
They had a jailhouse rock. Amen. They sang songs and praised the Lord. I'll try that myself. They put me in prison. Amen. Whatever comes our way, listen, we got to have the right spirit whenever we come to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Don't be fearful. Don't walk around here and be scared to death of what's going to happen. And keep your head in the sand. Get your head out of the sand. Understand that things are taking place around you that's setting the stage for the Antichrist. And Jesus Christ is coming soon. Amen.
Yes.
That word soon is the only word in English language that we can use. But it ain't good enough. It's a micron away or half a micron away that Jesus is coming. The globalists is trying to do everything they can to stop CO2, carbon monoxide, and things like that in our air. They put converters on our cars years ago to stop polluting the air. You know what the trees and the plants and the flowers need? They need us to pollute the air, amen, because they can't function without it.
Right.
Oh my, how about that? They got all this green stuff coming on now. Everything is green. All these electric cars. Listen, I'm just going to be honest with you. When it comes to electric cars, I ain't working on them. Don't bring that thing to my house because I ain't working on them. Amen. If it drops oil, it leaks oil, it burns gas and smokes on it, I'll work on it. Amen. But if it's electric, I ain't touching it because them things are dangerous.
Yeah.
They come to us at work. They have electric buses now. They come to us at work and they say, well, all right, well, we need somebody to go to school and learn how to work on these electric buses. And then they start talking about the watts and the bonus that them things cuts off. You got to wear special suits, special suit shoes. You got to sign a waiver. I mean, it's dangerous stuff. I ain't doing that mess. But you have to. No, I don't. I don't have to work here. Amen. I don't have to do that. But listen, they're coming out with all kinds of electrical things in green. Everything is economy for the economy center, the ecosystem, and all that kind of stuff. Because the ozone layer is depleting. We have global warming and all that hogwash. It's all lies, amen. Don't believe that mess. God's in control.
Right.
Amen. What they're telling you is that the God that created the heavens and the earth made a mistake. He didn't know what he was doing and mankind's destroyed. Really?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think I'll just go with God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let me read some Bible. I'm trying not to be all political and all that stuff nice. And Daniel chapter 6, verse number 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the princes, presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the president and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. You know, whenever you read that, a lot of people think, well, he was a supernatural guy. No, he was not. He was a young man, used of God.
Yeah.
That's all he was. Amen. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, in the furnace they did go. When they went in the furnace, they were teenage boys just trusting God. And God greatly used them. Amen.
Yeah.
And now we find that it's in a time that things are just as probably as crazy as it was in this time as it was our time. And the Bible says that they just want to set Daniel over the presidents and the princes because the king found an excellent spirit in him. Well, what you and I need in this evil day is to have an excellent spirit.
Amen.
Amen. We need to have the type of spirit about us when the world is looking at all the hypocrisy and all the lies and all the trouble and all the turmoil going on around them that they can find somebody that will give them the truth. Amen. Somebody they can trust, somebody they can go to that has an answer for them. And when they give them that answer, you can take the Word of God and back up what you're saying.
Right.
Amen. The thing about all of this heresy that you hear and a lot of the things that's going on in our world, a lot of things on the news, they can't back it up. They say it, but they have no proof. They can't back it up. The thing about you and I as believers, we can back it up.
Amen.
Amen. We've got the Word of God, and we can back it up. And we need to have an excellent spirit. As the world doesn't like you, it doesn't like me, because we live for Christ. Amen. We know Christ, and we live our life for Christ, and live for Jesus. And what happens whenever they get the worldly crowd gets around us, it convicts their hearts. Because we're living right, and they're living wrong, and they realize they're not living a life that's right with God, and it convicts them, and they do not like that. They despise that, therefore they hate you. What did Jesus say? They'll hate you because they hate me. Amen. That's because he was doing what was right according to the will of God. He was being obedient unto the Father. And so he had an excellent spirit about him. And you and I also have an excellent spirit about us. Amen. The devil would rather have you not pray than pray. Amen. Because if you spend time in prayer talking to God, you'll be an effective witness. Amen. If you confess your sins to God, if you spend time in the Word of God, communion with God, you're going to be effective. Amen. You're going to have the right spirit. Amen. Y'all help me. You'll have the right spirit when you spend time with God. Amen. And whenever you have that right spirit, it makes the devil mad, and he's going to try everything he can to discourage you and to destroy you and to get you to stop doing what you're doing.
Amen.
Amen. I know tonight, if we come to church on a Sunday night, most of us would like to have a full house. We don't have a full house. If you're not careful, that will discourage you. And the devil will use it to destroy you because the house of God is not full. Amen?
Yeah.
It does. Amen? The world hates us because we love the Lord. Amen? The devil hates us because we're effective, because we pray, we read our Bibles, and we witness. The devil hates that. He wants to stop. Amen. We find here that Daniel, the Bible says he had an excellent spirit about him. He was a spiritual young man. He was successful, as we find that the Bible says that he set him over the three, and over these three presidents of whom Daniel was first, the princes might have give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. So we find in verse number 2 that Daniel was successful, but not just successful there materially, but he was also successful spiritually, because verse 3 says he has an excellent spirit within. Amen.
Amen.
Now, let me say this, go down and read verse number 4, then the president and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. I said this before, and I'll say it again. The world's going to look at us, and they're going to try their best to find fault.
Right.
Amen. They're judging us, and they're going to judge us. Amen. It's our duty. It's our responsibility. The best to our ability is to live as holy and acceptable unto God as we can. Amen. Amen. They can come at us, they can accuse us of all different things and all sorts of lies and things like that. But whenever there's no case, there's no fault found, they have no ground to stand on. Amen.
Right.
And it's our responsibility to be spiritual, to be filled with the Word of God, to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. That way we can have a life that they can't find fault with, and they have to accept the truth.
Right.
That's it. Why is it? Because we're living right before. You can argue somebody all day long about what the news magazine says. You can argue somebody all day long what Time magazine says, or Newsweek, or whatever. You can argue all day long, well, I don't believe that. Well, this is that, and that is this, whatever. You can't argue nobody about their salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? I know I was there. I know what God's done for me. Amen? I know where God's brought me from. Amen? I know that God's real. I know that He hears and answers my prayer. I know He walks with me and He talks with me. I know those things. Amen? You can't argue with me about that.
Amen.
We got to have an excellent spirit. Make sure that there's no faults. Listen, we're going to make our mistakes and we're going to have our failures. That's an indication to commit sin. Amen? That doesn't give us right. Paul said, that doesn't give us right. Shall we sin? Amen? God forbid. We fail at the best we can do. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. We know that. Amen? We know that. But every day of our life, we strive to be filled with the Word of God, the Holy Ghost of God, so those wicked ones that's trying to destroy us can find none occasion to attack us.
Right.
Amen? Daniel was dealing with that in his day. The devil hated him. The crowd hated him. He was trying to destroy him. But we find there's something about that. Then the verse number 5, then said these men, what shall... we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. The world hates the Word of God. Hates our God. Amen. Only thing they could find against him was the law of his God. Ain't that amazing? Then his presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute. And to make it a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree, sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, verse number 8, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius, sign the writing and the decree. Y'all know the rest of the channel, I'm going to read it all. Listen, they said that he could do anything he wants to do except for pray. For 30 days, no man is to pray. You know what Daniel did? He obeyed his God.
That's right.
Amen. What you going to do when they come and tell you you can't pray? I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray.
Right.
You can't stop me from praying. Amen. Right, what did they do when they said you can't come to church? Many people stopped coming to church.
Yeah.
Now, again, I know there's a virus, and we've talked about this several times. I know there's a sickness, there's a virus, but we have common sense, amen? We're adults, we know how to protect ourselves, we know what to do in precautions, and there was nothing wrong. We shut down for a whole month, and we shut down for 4 weeks, and that was the first scare hit, because we didn't know what was facing, amen? Though so many folks were sick, we didn't want to infect nobody. Then we learned how to protect ourselves, and how to protect the churches, so therefore we came back to church.
Right.
But many people have not come back to church because the kings and the governors said, you can't do that. So they hadn't come back. But so Daniel said, you can't pray for 30 days. What did Daniel do? Daniel had an excellent spirit about him. He loved the Lord his God and the Word of God. And he went to the Lord and talked to him personally, amen, 3 times a day.
Amen.
Don't tell me I can't do it. I'll do it 3 times a day because I'm going to talk to my Lord. He didn't do that trying to be a show-off. He did that because he believed in the God he served.
Right.
Whenever they tell you that you can't pray, you show them that you're going to stand with the God that you serve. Amen? What if they come in here and tell us that we got to get out, they're going to shut the doors, padlock the doors, you cannot have church anymore, you're against the governor's wishes, you're against the president's wishes, and you got to get out of here, you cannot worship. What are you going to do then? I'm going to preach, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to keep worshiping.
Yeah.
Amen? You can't stop me from worship. You might stop me from assembling, but you can't stop me from worship. Amen? What if they take your Bibles away? and burn them, as they did, as the Roman Catholics did, as we talked about this morning in Sunday school. They took everybody's Bible, and you was put in prison if you was found with a Bible. You was persecuted if you was found owning a Bible. What if they take your Bible? Oh, preacher, we're living a different day. They would never do that, really. Who thought they'd ever shut the churches then?
Yeah.
Amen? Keep our eyes on the Lord. Amen?
Right.
No matter what happens. Daniel went to the Lord in prayer. And he, listen, you know why Daniel went to the Lord in prayer? You know why he spent three times a day talking to God? Because God had answered his prayers.
Right.
And God was listening to Daniel. If you have that testimony, you know God's here and answered your prayers. Ain't nobody going to stop you.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
Ain't nobody going to stop you. I know God hears and answers prayer.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Daniel's answer was to pray anyway, verse number 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed and went into his house and the windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. These men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. They came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. It's not we signed the decree. Of course he signed the decree. Where Daniel at? Daniel's on his knees praying. You know what we need to find ourselves in the air that we're living in the days of discouragement, the days of hypocrisy, the days of deceit, the days of destruction. We find ourselves on our knees.
Right.
That's what we need to find ourselves. Amen? We got to understand there is an evil plan. The devil has an evil, wicked plan. The world has a wicked plan. That plan is to destroy everything that stands for God.
Yeah.
Anything and everything that says God or stands for God, they want to destroy. And you and I have to be the shining light to those in this world that will hear. Not everybody's going to hear. Not everybody's going to listen. Amen? We're not going to have a church slam full of people because everybody's not going to listen. But what we can have is a biblical church that's well-pleasing unto the Lord, that's going forward and doing what God has for us to do. Amen?
Right.
Amen. There's an evil plan, but we see him right in the midst of that evil plan, there's a kneeling man. Amen? Hope to always be a kneeling man. Then we find as we look through the rest of this, I don't have time to read all this tonight. I'm not going to take the time. But Daniel prayed, and the Lord certainly answered his prayer. And we see that in this passage of Scripture. And let me jump over to verse number 21. Then said Daniel, King, O King, live forever. My God hath sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth, that they hurt, that they not hurt me, for as much as before him innocent was found in me, and also before thee, O King, have I done no hurt. Daniel spent some time with the Lord, thought him in the den of lions, the den with the lions. And listen, he came out and told the king, hey, my God has shut the lion's mouth. Set out to destroy. You know what it would do to this world if they tried to destroy a bunch of God-fearing, God-believing people, and we walked out of the fire, if we walked out of the den of lions? You know, there's a difference between a lion's den and a den of lions, right?
Yeah.
There's a difference. Having a lion's den can be nothing in it, but having a den of lions is a bunch of them in there. Amen. What if we walked out of a den of lions? What if we walked out of a flaming fire? What would this world do? Who knows? But here we find that Daniel, he walks out of the den. Verse number 23, the king, seeing glad for him, commanded that they should not take Daniel up out of the, or should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God.
Right.
He believed in his God. King commanded, they brought those men which had accused Daniel to cast him into the den of, they cast him into the den of lions, them and the children, their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces wherever they came at the bottom of the den. So you send a man of God in there that's been with God and that believed in God, and he comes out with no hurt. And all those that cast him in were thrown in there before they hit the bottom, they was destroyed.
Yeah, right.
By the lions. That's what happens when you walk in the power and the grace of God.
Amen.
That's what happens when you walk in the excellent spirit and you believe in the God that you serve. Mm-hmm. Amen. It's one thing to come to church, carry a Bible. It's another thing to read it, meditate on it, soak it up. Amen. As I preached this morning, it's one thing to have a Bible. It's another thing to know what that life says.
Yes.
Amen. And the days that we're living in, there's so much around us that's trying to discourage us, trying to destroy the believer, trying to get us to thinking that that God's not with us, that God's given up on us, that things have taken God by surprise, took you by surprise. They're trying to get us to think all sorts of foolishness. But the Bible teaches us different.
Amen.
Yep.
Aren't you glad that God's still in control?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm glad that, listen, although the election didn't go the way I wanted it to, I'm glad that God knows what's going on.
Yeah.
Amen. I know that there's a lot of things that's on the table right now. I don't know if you send your congressmen or your senators, you need to get a hold of their emails, you need to get a hold of their phone numbers, you need to blow their phones up, blow their emails up. Amen. They encourage that. Believe it or not, they want to hear from you. Amen. The more of us that stand up and make it have a voice, they hear that and they're listening. Congressman Ted Budd, who's our congressman of North Carolina, has emailed me, and I've emailed him several times. I don't know if you've heard about this Equality Act that they're fixing it's already passed the House, barely passed the House, but it passed the House. And I'm not trying to be political tonight, but I'm telling you, they're trying to put some stuff into place that's going to destroy the religious liberty of our day. They'll come at the church and say that the church is discriminating against people for stupid things. Amen. They'll tell us we can't preach certain things because it's discrimination when they have no right to be in the church to begin with. But they're trying to push those things. And those senators, those congressmen are waiting to hear from the people. Do you care? Absolutely I care. I sent the congressman a letter the other day. He responded back to me. I'm not bragging on myself because I told you. I'm just telling you. Hey, listen, he hears. Amen. He listens. He reads his emails. And I sent him a message and told him I thanked him for standing for us. He stood against this stimulus bill, this garbage they're trying to pass, $1.9 trillion. He said, did you know that there's $1 million still laying on the table that's unspent? $1 trillion.
Yeah.
But they had a bunch of money still laying on the table. And that money was supposed to be for the vaccines.
Right.
Supposed to be to help the paycheck protection plan and all. They ain't spent that money yet. Now they still want to add another $1.9 trillion to that. So all that was in his letter. He laid all that stuff in. He voted against it. And I thanked him for it. You and I ought to thank them when they stand against such stuff as that. Well, preacher, I don't want to be one that upsets anybody. Said, you need to be a voice. Amen. Everybody needs to be a voice. They're making decisions of what people are doing, what people are saying. If they don't hear from you, how are they going to know how you feel? Well, then you fuss and bellyache and complain because things go the way they go. You got to be a voice. Amen. And don't be ashamed of who you are.
Amen.
You're God's children. You got a right to speak up.
Right.
Amen. You got a right to speak up for those children, those grandchildren. Amen. Speak up for them and tell them, hey, listen, I don't agree with them. He sent me another letter back and he said, I appreciate your advocacy. I appreciate you standing against that. He said, because I agree with you. I don't like it either and I'm going to fight against it. And he voted against it.
Right.
Amen. It's got to pass the Senate now. It ain't passed that. It barely made it pass the House. I really don't think it's going to make it pass the Senate. I don't think they're that close. They may be. I don't know. But then again, the way things are going, they don't really have to vote. They just do what they want to do.
Yeah.
Amen. But voice your opinion. Make sure that your voice is heard. Amen. Make sure that you speak out. Listen, we have to. It's our obligation. We cannot complain. We cannot say anything about the way things are going if we don't take a stand. We talk about taking a stand. We talk about being firm on your belief. Well, if you don't ever say anything to those in Congress, you don't ever say anything to those in Washington, how are they going to know how you feel if you never say anything? So you're sitting back and you're quiet and you're not saying anything. That's why America's in the shape she's in. Amen. God's people need to speak up. Do it with an excellent spirit. Amen. Don't be cruel and mean and hateful with them. Tell them that you love them. You're praying for them because we are. According to the Bible, we're to pray for all those in office and all those in power. Amen. We pray for them, but then encourage them to stand with us. Amen. What discouraging days we face, but I'm glad God's still in control.
Amen.
Nothing has taken him by surprise. He's still on the throne. Don't let this mess scare you. Amen. Don't bow down to what they're saying and all this foolishness. Don't fall prey to this. Amen. Study the Word of God. Feed on the Word of God. What's God saying? God says, trust me. I've got this.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Trust me. I've got this.
Yeah.
I created everything.
Right.
I created heaven. I created the earth. Everything in the earth. Everything in the sea. Everything in the skies. I created all that. You don't think I can handle this? God says, fear thou not, for I'm with thee. Amen.
Amen.
I am with thee. Words of encouragement. I hope it's helpful to you. Amen. Kind of scattered thoughts, but I hope it's encouraging to you. Things that's going on, and that's there's agendas. I don't want to get off political line. How many of you ever heard of Oliver B. Green? Oliver B. Green's grandson, Benny Carpenter.
Yeah.
He's got a radio broadcast. I don't know if you listen to him or not. I was listening to him the other week. I'd like to get the whole series, but he's preaching on the agendas of the globalists. And I'm telling you what's the truth. There's some crazy mess going on. The 2021 agenda that they have, then they also have the 2030 agenda. And what they put in that agenda, it is all pointing toward a one world government.
Right.
That's what they're working toward. And if you haven't heard any of that, I encourage you to get his CD. Go online and find him. Get his CD. Listen to it. I'm telling you, there's things that's lining up. Amen. I'm telling you, it ain't going to be long. You ever listen to that kind of stuff? Don't let that discourage you. Let that encourage you.
Right.
Jesus is coming soon.
Yeah.
I believe he's already standing up.
Right.
Ready to go. Amen.
Amen.
I believe that the Lord is just looking at the Father and the goat is just,
yeah.
I don't think it's going to be long. Because he loves his bride. And he's coming to get her.
Yeah.
Amen. Don't get discouraged. I hope this is encouraging to you tonight. Just keep looking up. He may just come to mind.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen. Hallelujah. Wouldn't that be a blessing? That's right. Come on.
Amen.
Take us on. All right. Let's go forward to prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, tonight for the great privilege.